looking backwards, I'm like, yeah, like stress was a huge deal. I was unhappy in a relationship I was in. I had to then kind of think, well, everyone deals with stress. So what made this one come out as MS? Why am I dealing with MS? And why is the stress hitting me so hard? And again, this is years of looking at this, but it comes down to emotions. If we have not handled trauma from our past or our past or current emotions, those build up in the body and they create blockages and stress. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I see. So if I just learn to move through this, get these emotions out of my body, then I can start to heal. And that's exactly what happens. So I do a technique called emotional clearing, which helps remove emotions from the heart wall and the organs and the parts of the body, and also removes ancestral emotions, which is, it could be a whole nother episode for you, but that's part of epigenetics, talking about the ancestral emotions, which are a huge deal. And then understanding how certain emotions affect certain organs. And once I learned all that, it was like, oh, so I...
Namaste, sweet souls. My name is Shilpa, and you're listening to the Omni Mindfulness Podcast. I am a mindset and meditation coach for professional women and mompreneurs. The purpose of this show is to offer stories and content that allows you to increase your awareness of your authentic self and be inspired by connecting to the personal and professional stories of other souls. Souls who are walking the walk and living everyday human experiences with inspired intentions. These are the stories that will expand your consciousness and spark within you to ask, what if? Each season, I offer content to help you create a holistic lifestyle that embodies spirituality, mindfulness, mindset, and energy awareness. Through my conversations with experts in their niche area and solo casts from yours truly, my intention is to help you holistically revitalize, reset, and relax your body, mind, and spirit. I'm your host and founder of Omni Mindfulness. So ask yourself, what if just one story could be the catalyst to shift the trajectory of my life? What if I become instrumental in serving other souls to realize their true self? And what if my soul's higher purpose is in the realization of Omni Mindfulness joy? It's never too late to rewrite your story. And now, today's episode. Welcome back, sweet souls. This is your host, Shilpa. I wanted to share some exciting news about a little challenge I'm running as I'm trying to get more people to discover this podcast and the conversations that inspire those who value personal growth. And the best way to do that is to leave reviews. You can leave a review on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts. So my request to you is to leave a review if you feel that you've received any value at all from these episodes of Omni Mind. It would mean so much to me if you could write a little review regarding any episode that resonated with you. Please take a screenshot of that review and email it to me at omnimindfulness@gmail.com. In return, I will offer you my one-page guide to spark your meditation practice through Sankalpa. Sankalpa is a Sanskrit word for intention setting. Along with this, you'll receive a link to my guided meditation that will guide you through an intention setting meditation, positive affirmations, which you can practice daily. I guarantee that this gift will help you start a daily intention setting practice with a spark. It is my gift for you for being a listener, being a supporter, and of course, to enable you to manifest the best meditation practice. We are now in the sixth podcast season. Each month, my guests and I explore a facet of how mindfulness applies to modern day living. In April, my guests and I delve into the topic of eco-conscious living. The topic of courage and resiliency is covered in May, and wrapping up the season of mindfulness in June with the topic of heart-centered awareness. Stay tuned. And next up is Tracy Hill. Tracy provides a space for people to take back their emotional, mental, and physical health through subtle energy alchemy, understanding how to overcome emotional trauma and how to finally follow your passion and purpose. No stranger to adversity and hard work, Tracy uses her professional and personal experiences to help others live their best lives and equips them to handle whatever life brings them. Tracy's life came to a crossroads when she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at 25. She fought back by implementing healthy lifestyle changes with her holistic nutrition education, fitness experience, and energy healing gifts, and she successfully manages the disease with no medication. She shares her approach on the Facebook group she founded, Healing MS Naturally. Tracy received her master's in kinesiology from the University of Illinois at Chicago and her health coach training from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. She has training and is a provider for trauma release exercise and is a certified flow breathing coach. She also uses the scale of consciousness and body code to help people raise their vibration. Tracy is also in the process of receiving her PhD in natural medicine while continuing her career as a Chicago firefighter and subtle energy alchemist coach with her conscious evolution business. After her MS diagnosis and battle with becoming the healthiest version of herself, she found herself divorced with two beautiful kids. She became determined to uncover key components to a life of health and vitality that were outside the status quo. With her extensive wellness education, experience at defying the odds, and energy healing spirit, Tracy helps guide those who are ready to reach the triad of success through soulful, intuitive exploration. And now, here is Tracy. Tracy, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Of course, it's a pleasure. It was so nice to learn about your background. But for those who may not be aware, maybe you can share a little bit about your journey. Especially, I'm really intrigued about you being a firefighter. So that's definitely takes courage.
Well, thank you. Well, after high school, I joined the military. I joined the Army. When I got out, I began college and finished up college. I got my master's degree in kinesiology. And while I was finishing up my master's degree, I was just about done. I got really sick, like lost feeling on half of my body and tripping and didn't know what was happening. And I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And this is back in 2000. So I didn't really know what it was. And I started medication right away because the doctor told me you'd be in a wheelchair the rest of your life if you don't take medication, which is a horrible thing to say to somebody. So in the meantime, my symptoms had kind of calmed down and I got on the Chicago Fire Department. I started my 23rd year this year. And thank you. And so through the whole time of the fire department wanted me to file American Disabilities Act. And I was like, no, I refused to believe I was sick. And I eventually took myself about a year off of the medication. So it's been about 18 years now that I have been no medication and symptom free, actually longer than no medication, but I've been symptom free for at least 18 years. As I got my degree in kinesiology, so I knew the body really well. I'm a certified holistic nutritionist, so I understand the physical body very, very well. And I had to try to figure out, well, what is multiple sclerosis? Why is there no official diagnosis? Why is there no cure? What is going on here? And, you know, it's so similar to like lupus or chronic fatigue and arthritis and all these other things that doctors just put a label on something because they don't know what it is. Although arthritis is definitely more describable, but these other, you know, illnesses don't really have a definitive descriptor. And as I started going down the rabbit hole, I looked into environment and parasites and candida, and all the shots that I had gotten in the military were possibly part of the whole cause. I was bit by a tick when I was younger and it buried itself in my neck for a few days. I had mono when I was 13. So I was looking at all of these different factors. And in doing that, realized, well, stress is a huge indicator in all of this, because at the moment, or the time I got diagnosed, I was going to school full-time, working full-time. I was working out too many hours a day, and I was under a lot of stress. And, you know, once I was at this point of looking backwards, I'm like, yeah, like stress was a huge deal. I was unhappy in a relationship I was in. I had to then kind of think, well, everyone deals with stress. So what made this one come out as MS? Why, you know, why am I dealing with MS? And why is the stress hitting me so hard? And after, and again, this is years of looking at this, but it comes down to emotions. If we have not handled trauma from our past or our past or current emotions, those build up in the body and they create blockages and stress. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I see. So if I just learn to move through this, get these emotions out of my body, then I can start to heal. And that's exactly what happens. So I do a technique called emotional clearing, which helps remove emotions from the heart wall and the organs and parts of the body, and also removes ancestral emotions, which is, it could be a whole nother episode for you, but that's part of epigenetics, talking about the ancestral emotions, which are a huge deal. And then understanding how certain emotions affect certain organs. And once I learned all that, it was like, oh, so I can look at what I'm having as an issue, deal with the emotion, and then it will absolve itself. So for example, the last issue I dealt with was going to the bathroom a lot. I had bladder, like just couldn't hold it at all. And I have two kids, which I already had bladder issues before the kids, and then the MS hit, and then the kids. And then my bladder was like, forget it. But when I dealt with fear, bladder issues are fine. I'm good. Cleared it all up. No medication, no surgery, no nothing else. I just dealt with the emotion of it. So I'm a huge advocate for emotional and, you know, emotional healing and understanding how it affects the body.
Can you describe this methodology? Because I'm fascinated for myself. When you said you discovered this, what is it called again? Emotional
clearing. It uses kinesiology to detect where the block is. And then there's like this chart you can follow to see what emotion it is. And then I use a magnet, which you don't have to use the magnet. It's just a little more amplified. And you swipe it on your head to remove the emotion. And that emotion is removed from one single incident. So it's not all like if we're removing worry. Worry is removed from one very specific incident. There might be, you know, 100 more worries around in your body somewhere too. But I started out at, around 250,000 emotions to remove. And I'm down to zero pretty much always. So, but most people start out with like 800,000 to a million emotions to remove. Yeah. So, but as you remove them, it removes them forever. And it actually changes your DNA, changes your cellular structure, your cellular memory, so that you can actually start to heal.
Oh, I'm probably going to come to you for that. We probably have a long list of it.
Most people do. It's okay. It's normal.
And it's funny you talked about, not funny as in haha, but as in so fascinating that these emotions are locked in the body. It's something I've now heard so much, particularly when I got trained as a meditation teacher like 3 years ago, but over and over, because now most of my circle of friends are like women like yourself. And all we talk about is the other day I'm talking to a girlfriend who's a doctor, and I'm like, oh, but, and she goes, don't worry about it. It's going to get locked in the body.
Exactly. Yeah. And your fascia is the largest organ in your body, which Eastern medicine has known this forever. And Western medicine has now acknowledged the fascia as an organ. But if you experience tightness, anywhere in your body, it's likely your fascia is holding on to something. The Body Keeps the Score is a great book for that, for your listeners if they're interested, but it describes it really well. So that the fascia just clings onto that emotion and locks it up. It's kind of like the physical part of chakras. So your chakras, when they get blocked, they're overspinning, underspinning, they'll create problems in your physical body, all based on emotions. So fascia is fascinating because, you know, if you've ever gone to acupuncture and they find that one spot, like, oh, because it's affecting the fascia and it's running through the whole system. It's just a network of information highway, and it will help release whatever's there at the moment. But if you don't stay on top of it, like your friend said, they'll just keep building up and you'll hold on to it.
Yes. I have a favorite yoga teacher who introduced more about the concept of fascia to me a few years ago, and it's become inherently part of what I'm aware of. Like, oh, I feel tightness, but where is the tightness?
Exactly. Yeah. Like you have a headache, but it might go all the way to the base of your spine is where that tightness is coming from. And Got to work on that part.
And one of the things I read about you that was just fascinating as well is, and I feel like other women can resonate with this, is that we go through levels of understanding, like you did in your journey of, okay, where do I need to, which modality do I need to use to address this? And the deeper we go, it almost gets to almost like a inner being level.
It does. Yes. Yeah. So I have a lot of modalities, a lot of different modalities. I mean, obviously meditation is one. And for your listeners who it took me a long time to get to 5 minutes of meditation where I wasn't like beating myself up over it. You do not have to blank out your mind. You do not have, it's just a no judgment sitting still. That's all you have to do. There's different styles of meditation, but for me, because I like to be doing stuff all the time, my monkey mind is going often. It's just about stillness and awareness, and that's it. So just sidebar there for your listeners, don't beat yourself up, because I did for like a long time. Like, I can't get past 5 minutes without trying to get up. So I have physical modalities. I have like things I can, like journaling type of activities, energetic modalities, all different things. And it just depends on what I need today, yesterday, the day before that. I really needed grounding, which is barefoot walking on grass or dirt or sand. And that's been really calling to me. So I've been doing that a lot. But I journaled the other day, which I'm not a big fan of journaling personally. I love the idea of it. I just, I'm not drawn to it, pun intended. I felt the need to do it the other day. So I journaled a little bit and I felt better. I drink cacao. I do my hapé. I will go for a walk outside. I have a biomat. I'll use my biomat. I have a frequency scanner. I scan myself every day with my frequency scanner. But I have so many modalities. Some I've kept, of course, breathing techniques too, huge. I've kept many of them. Some I just kind of keep in my toolbox. Some I've tried and don't resonate with me, like ice baths, not my thing. So it's up to you to really, maybe you try it and it's just not for you right now where you're at, but to kind of just keep it in your awareness, because maybe in a year from now, 5 years from now, it'll resonate with you and it'll really work. You can see my drum on the wall back there. I love sound. So I have a whole bunch of sound instruments. That sound healing for me is one of the most meditative, full body experiences that I can have. And I love it. So, you know, depending on where I'm at, what season I'm in, what my mental, emotional, spiritual body is asking for is what I will do. But I do something every day for personal development or healing, healing my mind, body, spirit.
It's wonderful that you mentioned the blend of those modalities, because that's pretty much how I approach life. I mean, I do have a few very consistent things that happen every day. But beyond that, today, I did more journaling than I normally ever do, because in the past, wasn't a fan. And I do grounding. And I'm sure you've heard of Clint Ober, who's the founding of the book called Earthing. So he's one of my guests coming up on grounding.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I love hearing that you're using this. And now, do you work with clients
also? I do. I work with women. They're typically between the ages of 35 to 55 who are feeling, I guess, stuck in life. They know that there's more. They're not necessarily like sad or, you know, unhappy, but they're not happy. And they've been doing a lot of my clients have done talk therapy, and they're like, I've been doing talk therapy for like 20 years. I'm like, it's so unilevel, you know, it's one level of approach. And I like to do multi-pronged approach on so many different levels, because you need all of your senses involved. And if you're only talking from your logical mind, you're not getting into those deeper recesses, and you're not accessing what your cellular memory has. You have all the information in your body, but if you're not accessing it from different avenues, it'll stay locked in there.
Yeah, so talk therapy probably doesn't even unlock the stuff that's deep in the tissues.
Mm-mm. I mean, that's not what they're trained to do. So it's just too linear for most women. So the women that come to me are just, they're really looking because they're like something missing in life. You know, they've done what I know I've done, which is, you know, graduate high school, go to college, get married, have the kids, have the house, and then work until you're dead kind of thing. And so I had to kind of stop that cycle because that's what we were brought up as or to do. And it may not be for you. Maybe you really didn't want to get married or have kids, and you are in that situation now. It's not that you're going to leave your family, but you have to figure out a way to incorporate what really matters to you on a daily basis so that you can feel fulfilled, because just living is just existing. And we want to thrive in life. We want to feel like we're making a difference. We all have a gift to give to the world. And if you don't even know who you are, you're probably not giving that gift away at all. And when you can give your gift away, you also receive gifts from other people in return. And I don't mean presents like unwrapping gifts. I know you know that, but I just mean, you know, a shoulder to lean on, a free meal, whatever it is. There's gifts everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when you share yours, other people will share theirs with you.
And it's healing, because I often find that when you can resonate with someone's journey and their evolution, you're like, okay, I'm not alone.
Exactly. It's so interesting to me, because with every one of my clients, I'm like, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, like, I don't want you to have to, you hire me once and that's it. But just know the journey never ends. It never ends. And I'm very, very vulnerable. I share all of my things with everybody. And it's like, things still unfold. And I'm still like, whoa, where did that come from? But it's about not judging and just exploring and questioning and being curious about what's coming up for you. Why did you have that reaction? Why did you, like, for example, I was driving the other day, and I think I must've ran over like a empty water bottle or something, like a, you know, one of the small 8-ounce water bottles. And it made a pop sound. It wasn't super loud, but I immediately had a fight, flight, freeze reaction. Like, I felt my body got hot. The hairs went up. I was like, I tensed up. I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? Why did I just have that? So I realized that my body was kind of in a trauma state for some reason. And I've been doing a lot of self-healing work the last few days to unravel all that and go, why is this coming from? So something is, you know, kind of got locked up in there, and it's coming out now. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't matter. So it's coming out, but it's always unraveling.
Yeah. And the awareness that, wow, I'm observing myself reacting this way versus just reacting. That's the big difference.
It's huge. And it, you know, that takes work too. When I start working with clients, there's a lot of, unlearning that has to happen, because you have fit yourself into this mold of who you think you're supposed to be. I'm supposed to be the wife. I'm supposed to be the mother. I'm supposed to be the caregiver. And if that's what you really want, awesome. But if there's other aspects of you that are being shunned away or hidden, then likely you have habits that are unhealthy, because we all turn to things to shove down our emotions, like eating, watching TV, over-exercising like I did, alcohol, you know, shopping, gossiping. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go on and on. So if you're finding yourself, not you, Shilpa, but if your audience is finding yourself, you know, stuck in this loop of, you think you have lack of motivation for whatever it is that you want to accomplish. Motivation has zero to do with it. Zero. When you find your zone of genius, you'll do it because it feels amazing. But to get to that point, you have to get uncomfortable. And that is where change is hard, because most people don't want to change because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. But in that change, the catalyst may sometimes come from something that's requiring for you to step into the next space that you need to be in. Your energy is ready to be in that space.
Right. Yeah.
I read also, and I know you use the terminology, but maybe for those who are not aware, how would you describe to maybe someone who's not quite into the whole spiritual world like you and I are, subtle energy alchemist? What does that mean?
Yeah, so I call myself a subtle energy alchemist because everything I do is based on frequency and energy. We are, everything around you is energy, sound. The computers we're on right now, your pets, ourselves, the food we eat, everything has a frequency. And my goal as a guide, a healer, a coach, is to help you raise your frequency, but also adjust it so that you're on your right path. So you're toward your North Star. Some people like to rip the Band-Aid off. But most of my clients, like I said, are women between 35 and 55, and they have jobs and families. So I do a little more subtly. I give a lot of tools. We work on unraveling things, and it's still uncomfortable, but you can still have your normal daily life of family and work and whatever else that you're doing. So it's not super disrupted.
Yeah. And the discomfort comes from the fact that maybe more, when I speak on a more subtle level, the discomfort comes from the fact that there's a shift in energy.
There's a shift in energy, but there's also your ego is kind of battling. It's fighting against this because your ego is responsible for keeping you alive. And it's a good thing. We want to stay alive, but we're not running from the proverbial tiger anymore. We are, you know, in a lot of traffic when we're driving, we're in long lines at the grocery store, we got a bill that can't get paid. And our ego starts drumming up all the stories of you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the discomfort comes when we want to change, like we make a conscious effort to change, but our ego wants to keep us in what we know. It's not necessarily where we want to be, but it's what we know, and it's safe. It feels much safer to be in this discomfort of where we don't want to be than to move to the unknown and still be in discomfort, but it's unknown and it feels unsafe. So there's this little bit of splitting here where we have to split apart the ego and kind of tell it to go sit in a corner and, you know, be quiet for a little while because we're busy over here trying to make changes. And so once you can kind of rewire that circuitry, I don't want to say it gets easier, but it's more tolerable because it's about being comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because if we always stay in our comfort zone, we never grow. You can't grow in comfort.
And so even though, and again, this from perspective of someone who may be listening, those who are not necessarily working with you doing, those who are not doing necessarily talk therapy, but working with these different modalities, like you had mentioned, the grounding or the frequency work, as you were doing that, what you're saying is that that discomfort comes because they need just maybe just relax into the changes. I'm just kind of.
Yeah. So, I mean, there, you know, what happens sometimes is when people want to change, they do all this research and I'm guilty of this. So I'm going to, you know, again, I'm very vulnerable. It's all good. You look into all this stuff. Like, you know, I did all the reading, like the Joe Dispenza and the, I did it all, read it all. And I consumed so much, but I never put into action any of the stuff I learned really. You know, I might've done it for a week and I'm on to the next book and I'm on to the next thing. Part of changing the course of your life requires more action with awareness and intention. So if you're just doing grounding, but not like, you know, it's kind of like if the dentist said, like, you know, brush your teeth twice a day and you're just like, okay, done. And you just brush for 30 seconds and you're done. Mm-hmm. You're just doing it to check off a box. We don't want a checklist. We want intention with the activity. So just like I couldn't meditate. I was trying so hard to check it off my list that I would force myself to meditate. And I was just thinking about what I was going to do after I was done meditating. I wasn't really meditating. So I was already doing the things without doing the things, just, you know, a cycle. So it's about creating the intention and really being present in doing that intention. So if you're going to go out and ground, you know, really enjoy it. It's like stop and smell the roses. Mm-hmm. Go out, really feel your feet on the grass, really, you know, talk to Mother Earth. She's listening. Talk to nature around you. Talk, you know, talk kindly to yourself. If you're going to, let's say you're going to go do yoga.
Yeah.
Don't go into yoga as like, this is my workout. I'm going hardcore. I'm going to be better than everybody. And you're thinking the whole time, like, oh, I got to go to the grocery store when I'm done. Go in to yoga for yourself, not for anybody else, just to be present with your body. And, you know, yoga has many different purposes, but one of them is one, to breathe, and two, to be present with your body, know where you're at. It's a great release. So again, it's just, if you're not present and have the right intention, you're just going through the checklist like I did for a while.
Yeah,
I did it.
And I've been guilty of that at different points where I do so much in that 1 hour in the morning that includes a variety of modalities, but then it gets overwhelming because you're like, am I getting it done? Am I getting it done? And then I ask myself, am I being present? So going back to what you said, though, I had a huge smile on my face when you said it, because I have it on my wall as my model for how I want to work with my clients, is that start with the intention, make sure you have action, and make sure you are then creating a level of awareness of how present you are. Mm-hmm. That's so key.
It is. It's really key to everything. I have a lapse of memory of some of my childhood, I think, because I was in a trauma response, which I'm learning more now. I'm like, oh, I had a lot of trauma responses when I was younger. But I wasn't present because I was in a trauma response and I was on to the next thing and I would kind of dissociate. So I wasn't being present with the places I was at. So I know I have like glitches or chunks of time missing from childhood. And I'm sure your listeners can remember the same kind of missing pieces. And all of that is, a lot of it, you're not being present. So, you know, if you're in a trauma response, you're definitely not present. You're in a fight or flight or freeze mode. And if you are trying to dissociate, or if you're trying to get through something because it's uncomfortable, you're not being present. And so it's easier to forget or not keep the memory of what you're going through if you're doing those things out of just needing to get them done.
I can relate to that. I didn't know there was a terminology or that was real for other people, but that's interesting that is real. And if you've been through some childhood trauma, you will have glitches, which I do. I didn't know it was for real. I just with that, I just, maybe I have bad memory. But then once in a while, I'll have a conversation with a friend. And she's always like, oh, you have such good memory. I'm like, do I? I remember some stuff from my childhood. Yeah. Is there a way you can then extract that memory and remember it? So that.
Oh, definitely. Because those memories are always in your cells. Again, there's so many ways to do that. And it, well, it depends on the level of which you remember. So, and just to clarify, or I don't want to say clarify, but to back up what you're saying is, I always thought I had a bad memory too, until I realized like, there's some really detailed stuff I remember from childhood really well. Mm-hmm. And then there's gaps of time missing, or like, I don't remember like 13 years old at all. So it's just to, if your client, if your listeners are like, huh, yeah, it's not necessarily that you have a bad memory. I mean, it could be, but the other alternative is that you just didn't want to experience whatever you're experiencing at the time in childhood. So just be aware of that. It's not necessarily a memory thing. I mean, one great way is hypnosis. Honestly, I don't do hypnosis myself. I've had it done on me a couple times. But that is one really great way. But you don't always need to remember, which is, so everyone's different, but not everyone has to remember things. The best way to kind of know the theme of your life is to see your cycles today. So we're all either in anger, fear, sadness, and majority of people are not actually living love, a life of love. We experience moments of love, but to be in love all the time, unconditional love, maybe 0.1% of the population. It's very, very small.
And I didn't know that either. I've been blessed with a lot of love, and I don't take it at all for granted, knock on wood, because I know that it's just tremendous. But I recently had someone tell me that she's never really been in that situation, and it just kind of broke my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. And you know, love begins with yourself first. You can't love anyone else till you love yourself. And moms really hate when I say that, but it's 100% true. In order to give love, you have to know what it feels like, because otherwise you're just repeating what your mom did, or your, you know, your upbringing gave you. True love, there's no conditions to it. And sadly, we only have one word, which is love, but people love pizza, people love a nap, and people love people. So it's like, it's all the same word, and it doesn't exactly mean the same thing. So anyway, so the hypnosis is great, but you don't have to remember, because if you find a theme in your life that continues to repeat itself, like, well, for me, one of the last ones that came up a couple of years ago was impatience. And I would find myself in these situations where I would just, I was either getting angry or like, oh, you know, like this control thing. Like, why am I always in the longest line at the grocery store, or the, you know, the longest line of anything, or traffic is always, because I had to learn patience. And once I could see it for what it was, acknowledge it, and then it was almost kind of funny, like, oh, you know what? Now I see you, universe. I got you. And then it just kind of became a game. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, I don't experience it anymore. Very rarely. Once in a while, I'm like, well, there's that impatience showing up again, you dork. I don't want you here, but thanks.
I'm huge into the law of attraction. I mean, with a more sincere understanding of the principles, and that which we put more energy into that frustrates us, it seems to haunt us and grow.
100%. Yeah. It's like, yes. What you don't want just keeps slapping in the face.
Exactly.
the resistance.
I catch it now as I get older, especially the last few years. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't like that, but I'm just going to not, I'm going to give energy to what I do like.
Exactly. It's almost comical at this point, where like, oh, okay, I got the longest line, and it's good. I'll just talk to people in line, or, you know, catch up on emails on my phone, whatever. It's fine. And You know, it doesn't bother me. I don't want to become a victim to something I don't have control over. We really don't have control over anything when you look at like the ultimate blueprint of life. We really have no control over anything. And so for some people that's scary, but realistically it's like, well, okay, cool. If we have no control over anything, then what am I worried about? There's nothing to worry about. I'm just going to let life happen. You know, I take action, but I'm still going to let just life flow for me, because that's so much easier and enjoyable than forcing myself in a direction that I don't want to go in.
Yes. I can see that. And it's also a matter of recognizing, what do I want to manifest? And if I'm already feeling good about what I have now, then just keep putting that energy into that feeling, which will continue manifesting.
Yeah, great point.
Everyone's the object of what we think we want. It's not about thing. Right. It's the feeling of the thing.
The emotion. Yep. It's the emotion behind it. So most people are looking for love, joy, and peace. And, you know, with peace, that's like safety, security. With joy, that's like the joyful parts of life. And with love, it's about feeling loved, being wanted, having this sense of community. So that's what we're all striving for all the time, but we don't want to admit that because ego again gets in the way, and there's all these other branches of that not seeking it intentionally. But when you can seek it intentionally and you know exactly that's what you want in life, it becomes easier to find, because life will throw those at you and you just have to be aware that they're there in front of you. And you continue, like you said, to seek more of it, and it brings you more of it.
Yes. And one last thing, just as we're wrapping up on this very topic, a lot of this is all about the power of your thoughts, because that too is subtle. So perhaps you can share how you work with your clients when it comes to guiding them. Now that you've done the work with them, the egos come up, there's discomfort. Maybe tie it back to the power of thoughts.
Yeah, I'm very intentional with my clients about words that they use. So internally and externally, words that you use really, really matter. And I'll just give a very easy takeaway. Be aware of your words just for a few hours in a day, somewhere where you're actually speaking with people. And if you find yourself saying, I can't, or I have to, that's one of my bigger ones. I have to implies it's a chore, that it's a demand. So for example, I have to go do laundry. You get to go do laundry, or you are lucky enough to have a washing machine that does laundry for you and you're not doing it outside. You're lucky enough to have clothes to do laundry. So it's about the perspective. A lot of times I ask my clients, who are you? And they always start with, you know, I'm a mom, I'm a this, I'm a that. Realistically, all of that stuff can be taken away at any moment. So really, you just are. I don't want to say it's the right answer, but a better answer is I am, because we're all connected. So hearing your words internally and externally, which means slowing down. If you're a person that says I'm sorry a lot for no reason, you know, I'm sorry. That means that there's a worthiness issue you have. So hearing your words, you know, slowing down enough to hear your words, what you're saying, really, they manifest into reality. And I teach my clients how to hear their thoughts via their words, so that they can start to shift their vocabulary into manifesting what they want instead of what they don't want.
Boy, and when I was in my early 20s, I could have listened to what you just said. Maybe not a process back then, but I remember often being told by people like, you're always saying I'm sorry. And I'm like, well, I thought I was being polite. But the way you expressed it is I am, and then saying sorry is directing it to your worthiness.
Yeah.
And then that teaches other people how to treat you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So they see you, I don't want to say they see you as weaker, but you're putting yourself out as a weaker being next to the other person when really we're all equal. On the spiritual level, we're all just as equal and all just seeking love, peace, and joy.
Exactly. Well, on that note, I am just so honored. I'm going to definitely have you back if you would like to.
Absolutely.
There's Absolutely. So many topics like embodiment. I can see us going deeper into that whole conversation just on so many levels, whether it's psychological or deeper on the physiological level. But thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you, Shilpa. I enjoyed it so much. Thank you.
I did too. The show notes will include all of the ways in which listeners can find you and potential Perfect. Clients can find you.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a lovely day.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in. Check out the links in the description and please subscribe, follow, and share, and continue to practice Omni Mindfulness.